You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Repeat after me. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. Okay, don't repeat that. We're done repeating now, okay? All right, James Bohannon, he was a young lawyer from South Carolina, but he moved to Texas. And he'd only been in Texas for 3 months when he volunteered to fight at the Alamo. And so on February 23rd, in 1836, as General Santa Anna and his 2,000 Mexican troops gathered, the 182 men at the Alamo prepared for battle. But James didn't stay at the Alamo. He actually ended up breaking through enemy lines, and he went out to seek help from others. And so he rode to Goliad, Texas, where he asked if there was anyone willing to fight. There was no one. So he went on and he went to Victoria, Texas, seeking someone else who might be willing to fight for that cause. But there was no one there willing to fight either. And so he had two options for what he could do. He could go home. He could go to safety. He could go to where he could live out the rest of his days. Or he could return to the Alamo and fight, which is what he did. He went back to the Alamo, back to the battle, back to the fight, certain that he would die. We're in a sermon series right now called The Places of the Passion, as we're going through Matthew's gospel and following Jesus to those different places that Jesus went in that last week of his life. And today we begin our walk in Bethphage, a village near Bethany on the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And here, it's here at Bethphage where Jesus begins his ride into Jerusalem, back to the fight, back to the battle, certain that he would die. But as we read through this text, we see a question that the people ask of Jesus. It's one that we're going to take a look at today. It's from Matthew 21, verse 10. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, "Who is this?" Right? Who is this? That's the question for us this Palm Sunday, and really, that's the question for us for all time. Who is Jesus? Because if we get this question right, we get everything right. But if we get this question wrong, then we get everything else wrong. So who is Jesus? Well, some would say that he's a therapist who helps us cope with our problems. He tells us how valuable we are and tells us not to be so hard on ourselves. Others would say that Jesus is a coffee lover, but he obviously only drinks fair trade coffee, probably from Starbucks, and then he takes that coffee so that he can go have nice spiritual conversations and maybe even go to a film festival, really dig into those spiritual conversations. Others would say that Jesus is a coach, right? Jesus, we can do all things through Jesus who strengthens us. So Jesus helps Christian athletes run faster and jump higher than non-Christian athletes. That's how that works, right? Others would say that Jesus is a hippie who wants to, you know, say, give peace a chance. Imagine a world without religion because all you need is love. Some would say that Jesus is a spiritual guru who encourages us to go out into nature and find the God within us. And so others would say that Jesus is a revolutionary who teaches us to rebel against the status quo, to push back against the government, to stick it to the man and blame everything on the system. While others will say that Jesus is a good example. He teaches us how to live a good life, how to change the planet one step at a time by maybe starting by helping a little old lady cross the street. And then there's the plastic Jesus, right? Paul Newman sings the song Plastic Jesus in the movie Cool Hand Luke. And in that song, he says, "Well, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I have my plastic Jesus." A plastic Jesus follower, a believer, believes that Jesus is a good luck charm. Right? He's a rabbit's foot, a four-leaf clover, someone that they can turn to when they need things to go their way. But I think we need the real Jesus. And today we're gonna take a look at Matthew, and Matthew's going to show us who that real Jesus is. And at first we see that Jesus is our humble king who serves. We read about it in the beginning of our text from Matthew 21. Jesus sent out two disciples saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt tied with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them.'" Jesus, he employs the law of royal levy. And that law of royal levy basically gives a king authority to get anything from anyone at any time. And we see that when Jesus tells them to say, "The Lord needs it." And so who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is a king. Actually, Jesus is the king. But what kind of king? Well, let's keep reading. "Behold, your king comes to you humble and mounted on a donkey." Here, Matthew is quoting a prophet Zechariah, who says basically the same thing. So compare this with what Zechariah says. Zechariah says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." Did you see the difference in those? Here in Zechariah, what Matthew's quoting, he has these words, "righteous and having salvation is he." Matthew leaves those out. Now, Matthew's not afraid to use those words for Jesus. Actually, 15 times at least each, he'll use the word righteous and having salvation. So Matthew leaves that out, though, for a reason. And it's to really double down on the humility of Jesus. Jesus actually said that earlier when he says, "I am humble and I am lowly in heart." And then as Jesus rides in on a donkey, he accentuates the humility, not riding in on a horse, but riding in on a donkey. And as he does that, he announces that he doesn't come to bark out orders, but instead to wash feet. He doesn't come to dominate or intimidate, but to love and forgive and even to shed tears. Jesus doesn't come to marshal an army, but to stretch out his hands on the cross. For you and for me and for our salvation. Though he's rich, this king became poor so that through his poverty, you might be made rich beyond your wildest imagination. A king like this is worth shouting about. So Jesus is a king, all right, but Jesus is a humble king. A king who uses his authority to serve, not to serve himself, but to serve you and me. In Matthew 20, verse 28, earlier in our before our text, Jesus says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, back to the fight, back to the battle, certain that he would die. And why would he do that? Why would he ride back into the battle, certain that he would die? Well, to give his life as a ransom. Ransom is a sum of money that's paid to release prisoners to anxiety and emptiness and fear and sin and selfishness, prisoners like you and me. Martin Luther says that Jesus ransomed us not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. As prisoners of sin, you've been redeemed. You've been ransomed. You've been bought back by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is our humble king who serves. At the same time, Jesus is our mighty warrior who fights. We continue with our text in Matthew 21. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save us now. And you couple that with the palm branches that are being waved, which is an ancient sign of victory. And Jesus is what? He's our mighty warrior. Yes, Jesus is a humble king who serves, but Jesus is also a mighty warrior who fights for our salvation and for our resurrection. Jesus fights sin and Satan, demons and death, and he wins. on the third day in his resurrection. And Jesus is also a radical prophet who shakes the city. We continue reading in Matthew 21. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" Right? Jesus shook things up. And that's what prophets do. Prophets shake things up. And we need it, right? We need to be shaken up because it can be so easy to just go through the motions, to just live life the way that we want to live life. We need shaken up. And we see other prophets doing that throughout the Old Testament. We see Isaiah, who walked naked for 3 years. Yikes. Jeremiah buried his underwear. I don't know if it was Fruit of the Loom or Hanes, but he buried it. And Hosea, I think one of the weirdest, God told him to marry a prostitute named Gomer to show the people of Israel how they were living in relationship to God as they were going after other gods. And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do to shake things up? Well, Jesus, as a king, as a mighty warrior, Jesus allows people to spit on him, to beat him, to impale him, to spike him to wood. Describing his death, Matthew 27 says that the earth shook and the rocks split. But that wasn't the end of the shaking. Describing Easter, Matthew 28 says that, "Behold, there was a great earthquake. The crucified one is not dead. He is risen," and that shakes everything up. The resurrection means that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is our radical prophet who shakes the city. So who is Jesus? Well, today we're not talking about Jesus the therapist or Jesus the coach. We're not talking about even plastic Jesus. We're talking about the real Jesus, our humble king who serves, our mighty warrior who comes to save and who fights, and our radical prophet who shakes up the city. So who is Jesus? Well, repeat after me with a full voice. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen.